Good morning. My name is Jiajie, and today I want to talk about graphing SGXs, which is a framework we built to run unmodified Linux application on the latest Intel CPU SGX technology. And this is a collaboration between Stony Brook University, UNC at Chapel Hill, Fortinix, and also Intel Lab. So Intel SGXs has been one of the CPU technology that's getting a lot of attention recently. So in this conference, you have seen several talk about SGX. And because it basically revolutionized the way we think about application security. But think about if you have some really sensitive data you want to process, for example, some medical records, or you worry about losing it to the attacker. So you want to run it in some private facility so they will never get lost. But now with Intel SGX, it allows you to move these computation to something cheaper, like a public cloud or even your client's machines. So as long as these facilities has installed the latest Intel CPU, they can guarantee the computation of these sensor data will be secure from the attacker. So to summarize, what Intel SGX give you is a way to guarantee the application confidentiality and integrities on a machine that you don't trust and you have no control of at all. Okay, so if you make you interested in using SGXs, I have to tell you, while developing an application for SGXs is not exactly easy. Well, there's a lot of reason for that, but the primary reason is there's always functionality that is still available on all these untrusted hosts, but they are not trusted by the SGXs applications. And the main reason is when you're porting those applications, there's a few effort you have to pay from the novice level, like a crypto functions, or something a little bit more complicated, like microservices, for example, running the LightD server inside the SGX. Or the most difficult one, I call it the hell level porting, which is the language runtime, for example, OpenJDK. And there's some SGX frameworks trying to help you to do this, for example, like Scone and Panoply was targeting the microservice level. But there's still always some porting effort. At least you have to know how to recompile your source code against these SGX frameworks. So here we're saying is, what about if we can give you a completely effortless option that you can just simply run and modify wide range Ubuntu applications inside SGX? So that's why we provide you graphing SGXs, which is an open SGX framework for running unmodified Linux application. It means there's no reprogramming, and there's no recompiling any part of your code. So far, we support a long list of server, command line application, and runtime, and this number is still growing. And we also support multi-process API, so if you need fork, if you need signaling, if you need IPC, we can support your applications. But more importantly, it's not meant to be perfect or more superior than other solutions, but more like a quick, practical option for you to explore all the SGX research opportunities, or if you simply just want to avoid changing any applications. So this is my talk outline today. I want to focus on three questions. First is, how do we, graphing SGXs, get to protect and modify Linux application in SGX? Second, why should you, as a developer, try it out graphing SGXs? And eventually, looking at the big pictures, like what is exactly the right way to port any application into SGXs? And I hopefully can provide some of my experience to you. So the whole story started with the graphing library as a project that we started 6 years ago. And at the beginning, we built it as an open source framework as a library OSs to run Linux application as a modified in any new innovative open systems and platform. So imagine if you have some unmodified application, it could be single process or multi-process. And here, graphene is a piece of library OSs that's been loaded into the process of applications, and it will support 145 Linux system calls so far to the application, and this number is still growing. And this design is supposed to be easy to port to different open system, to different port, to different platform. And this design was originally inspired by a work called Drawbridge Library OS in Microsoft Research. And later it was inspired by Haven, to use it on SGXs. So they are like the parent of graphene and graphene SGX. And luckily, right now, it's gradually adopted by many research labs and industry to build research projects. And for that, we are providing active deployment, development, and tech support for people. And of course, we're doing our best. There's only a few people of us are doing this, but we're trying to put all of our resources on it. And so it turned out this design is very good for solving the SGX porting problems for applications. Well, so let's give a little bit of background about Intel SGXs for people who didn't have too much knowledge about it. So Intel SGXs is actually a new set of instructions on the latest Intel CPU. And by using this instruction, a trust open system could ask for creating an isolated environment. We call it the enclave. And in this enclave, you can run a piece of application that is signed by the developers, and it will process the sensitive data. And because of enclave, it will be completely isolated from the open system. Well, if there's any reasons, like if application have the context switches outside the enclave, every data and states inside the application will be encrypted and signed inside DRAM by the CPU using a server key that's only known to the CPU itself. So here it guarantees you confidentiality and integrity against all the other attackers from open systems or even hypervisor. And so this is very convenient, but applications running inside enclave also have some requirement. First, you need to have initial code that is being signed by developers to guarantee its integrity. Second, you cannot make any direct system call because open system was isolated from the enclave. Third, if open system want to provide any OS services as an input, it will be untrusted and will have to be checked by the application running inside the enclave. And this has become a fundamental problem of running a modified application because a modified application, Linux applications are usually dynamically linked and also built in with a lot of syscall usage. So how does graphing SGX solve this problem? If you download graphing SGXs and build it, we provide you this graphing loader to allow you to run application like HTTP server in SGXs mode. And this one will create an enclave for you and loads all the application binary, including GNU/libc, and also a piece of graphing library OS. And to guarantee the integrity, these binaries all be signed by the developers as a CPU verifiable signature, and we also provide the signing tool for you to do this conveniently. Once it's initialized, graphing libraries could provide the Linux system call right inside the enclave, and if you have to talk to the open system, it only have a smaller enclave interfaces that includes 28 calls. So by doing this, we actually satisfied the enclave application requirement. First, sign the initial code, checked. No direct system call, checked. And checking untrusted input. Well, this is turned out to be a tricky part. So this is a key research problem that we're solving in graphing SGX. So how do we actually check those untrusted inputs from the open system? Well, now we actually kind of know that checking untrusted system call is actually really hard. And the main reason is these traditional Linux system call interfaces are not designed for the scenario that of a trusted open system. And so graphing want to make this a lot simpler. So the way we do is two strategy. First, we narrow it down the input that we have to check to a fixed interface, which is 28 calls. And so it would be a lot easier than checking the original Linux system calls. And this is the same initiative taken by Haven. But second, we find out that it's actually a lot easier if you simply just redefine the interface to make it suitable for checking. And so later I'm gonna show an example, which is how do we check reading an integrity sensitive file, for example, library files or script or configuration file. But there's also another example in the paper, which is how do we check multi-process API like forking. And you can see it, you can check it out if you're interested. So if we were reading a file, application is reading a file that's integrity sensitive, you would be using these API, for example, read or mmapping a file into a memory, or use DLOpen to load the dynamic linking, like dynamic loading library files. And all these API can be implemented by Library OS using one single interface, which is called file map. And here we want to map the exact file at the exact offset at the exact size. So we're asking for open system to provide explicit input so it cannot try to manipulate the result. Second, there is some checks, file checksum being provided by the developers that was being signed in a file called manifest. And we can check these, our file content, the file content from the open system against those checksum. And finally, the untrusted open system will input a chunk of files into the enclave, and we can check against it after we copy into enclave, so open system will not be able to check it. So by designing, doing this exercise to figure out what is the right check for this interface, we'd be able to check these things explicitly. So we do this exercise for all the other 20 enclave calls. There's 18 of them is completely fully checked. Like if you're reading a files, you can check against the file checksum. If you use inter-process coordination, this is a multi-process API like forking, and we actually do is we combine CPU attestations with crypto technique so you can build inter-process TOS connection for message passing. There's also six other work benign. That means there's nothing to check at all. For example, if you're yielding the thread, you don't care whether open system actually yielded or not. It's simply just a scheduling options. There's only four of them are unchecked, like pulling the handles or reading file attributes. It's not like they are impossible to check. It's just not yet implementing graphing SGXs, and we're leaving it out future works. So to summarize, graphing SGX provide three features. One is it provides you an application-specific signature to authenticate all the application binary. Second, like it had all the system call implemented right inside the enclave. Third, it will have narrowed down and redefined untrusted open system inputs to some checkable, a set of checkable values. So by doing so, graphing SGX could turn an unmodified Linux application into enclave application. Okay, so this is graphing SGX. Why you should try graphing SGX as developers who want to use this technology, and when? So first of all, if you're interested in running a modified application, or you have an application that needs dynamic linking, for example, Apache web server needs to load these modules, then you should use graphing SGXs. But there are also cases when other SGX frameworks don't offer the OS functionalities that you want. And in these cases, graphing SGX will provide you more OS functionalities, and I'll explain why later. And also, another two concerns you might have is, first, would graphing SGX blow up the enclave side, and more importantly, trust computing base? And second, what does the performance look like? So I'm going to show you these two later. So if we compare graphing SGXs with other SGX frameworks, namely SCOM and Panoply, they took a different approach of checking against the untrusted open system. And if I very briefly and maybe oversimplified explanation of their approach, is basically building a very thin layer to redirect and also make sure all the system APIs are checked. And that was great, different from us to use library OS's to implement them inside the enclave. And this actually affects how OS functionality could be extended. For example, in graphing SGXs, we can just grow OS functionality without extending the check. The check was the same. The more system call you implement doesn't make any difference. For SCOM and Panoply, if you use more system API, you will have to design more check for them. So that's just the difference of how the approaches would affect. This also might be reflected in trust computing base size. Usually it was evaluated in light of code. And if you look at the library OSs versus the shin layer, you will see graphing SGXs is actually pretty much in the same order of magnitude of other frameworks. So it means like if you want users to decide which one may have more vulnerabilities, there's probably no too much conclusion you can draw from them. The main differences is actually in which libc do you choose. So if graphing SGXs use GNU-libc because you want to support unmodified Ubuntu application, but there's no reason we couldn't choose something like Muscle, which is a lot cheaper. So the lesson learned here is the size of the trust computing base is not fundamental to the libOS, LibraryOS problem, but more like affected by the choice of libc. So if you're willing to try a different libc like Muscle, you can switch to a smaller enclave. Okay, next let's look at the performance. Here I'm going to provide graph. I'm going to compare Graphene SGXs with Linux as a baseline, and another baseline is Graphene without SGX. So here I show you two workloads. One is an Apache web server, but we use a multi-process model. It will be configured with 5 worker processes. Another one is a command line workload, which tries to run a set of well-known R benchmark. And all the evaluation was done in a 4-core, 3.2 gigahertz Intel i5 CPU. So first part is Apache web server. When Apache web server was configured with multiprocessing, it will use IPC semaphore intensively for every client's connections. So here, we use the HTTP client to send out increasingly more requests to the server, and you can see the change on the throughputs on the x-axis and the average response time on the y-axis. So there's a certain point where the response time would shoot up, and that's where the top throughputs that these web servers could achieve. If you look at Graphene versus Linux, Graphene has very little effects on the top throughput, around 5%. But with Graphene SGXs, there's a lot of impact. There's 30% loss on the top throughput because Graphene SGX will have to jump out of Enclave to access any OS functionalities and also check them properly. So that's where the overhead you should, that's the overhead you should expect if you're using all these OS functionality. But another workload is command line workloads, which is some famous R benchmarks here. And so here we evaluate the latency of running all these computation and compare it to the baseline, which is the Linux. So if 0% means exactly the same, there's no overhead at all. Here, Graphene has nearly 0% overhead, so there's no changes at all. But for Graphene SGXs, because we don't change the behavior of application, so it really is depends on what does application look like. If you have very memory-intensive impact, you might have something like larger, like 3 times or even 10 times slower. But generally, you can see that in other experiments revealed in the paper, in general, it's around 1 times overhead or even less than 1 time overhead. And that's the kind of the overheads you can expect here. To summarize the Graphene SGX performance, we are expecting in normal cases, and this is memory intensive, you should expect latency overheads less than 1 times overhead. And this is not because LibraryOS, because LibraryOS only have very small memory costs, around 5 to 15 megabytes. And so the main cause is actually two. One is jumping out of Enclave and checking the inputs. And this could be improved by the same technique that's being used in other SGX framework, for example, scones or Panoply. And so we can just borrow their techniques and use in our frameworks. Another thing is also application memory usage is the big culprit. So if you're willing to do it, you can reduce it with configuration efforts or just try to partition your applications. And these could be covered by other works as well. OK, so that's almost the end of my talk. But before we go into the conclusion, let's talk about, in the hindsight, what is the right model for anyone trying to port an application into SGXs, based on our experience and working on graphing SGX. So first of all, if you're interested in running some application that's already out there and you don't want to modify it, you should try with Graphene SGX. You should explore the opportunity with Graphene SGX and build a proof of concept with it. And of course, you can stop here if you just don't want to pay any for efforts or don't want to change application. But you can keep on working on it. If you can try to compile out unnecessary codes or system code usage, or even switch it to Scone and Panoply if you are building a microservice applications. And there's also other tools like Alias or TSGXs could help improve performance or security of your SGX applications. And so you should keep on working on it and use these tools if helpful. Eventually, you should think about manually making it as optimal as possible, including doing partitioning if you're lazy, you can use Grundring, which has been being presented in the other day. And also, you should think about how do you optimize performance and security of your application. So you should work your way through to a more secure, more well-performed solutions. And you should always make sure you keep using a safe interface to the open system so you will not expose any vulnerability to the untrusted open system. And you should try to reduce memory footprints and unclear exits to make the performance better. And finally, you should eventually try to take care of all the vulnerabilities. And as another talk in this conference show you, side channel could be terrifying. So you should make sure they will not be a problem in your applications. So in conclusion, GraphingSGX provides you a quick, practical option to port any Linux application onto SGXs. It gives you the maximum usability, but with the balance of performance and security. And you should try Graphing Library OS. It's an open source framework out there. We're trying to provide you if bug fixes and tech support and tech transfer tutorial. If you're interested, please contact us and try and play with this software. Thank you so much.
So please speak your name and affiliation.
Nice work. Xi Huan from Dankook University. Quick questions for Intel. And SGX is a new kind of extended ISA. Mm-hmm. And as my perspective, it seems very vulnerable when we begin to start SGX applications. Mm-hmm. And Intel also has some technology for measured lunch that is called TXT. Mm-hmm. Are they also going to only interact or meaning that guaranteed integrity can be orthogonally smoothly transferred to the SGX environment using TXT technologies?
So
two different technologies, they can be orthogonally used together?
So let me clarify, you're talking about development efforts is vulnerable, is hard from the beginning, or you're talking about this technology, Intel CPU technology might
deployment.
Not be perfect, or deployment of applications. Okay, yes. So I think TXT and Intel SGX are very different technology, and so you should look at it differently. And SGX has its own challenges and security properties, and so if you want to run any build any application, you can just look at SGX and focus on. TXT has a different set of strengths and weaknesses. That's not what I'm covering
here. However, it doesn't, SGX mm-hmm. itself doesn't guarantee the integrity of the binary itself, right?
SGX?
Right.
Yes, it should. So SGX itself has, it will verify the signature of your application. So if someone give you another application, they will not match with the signature of Enclave and they will reject it.
Okay,
thank you.
Norman Wilson, University of Toronto. You say when you read a file, you verify its checksum.
Yes.
How do you know its checksum?
So checksum will have to be provided by the developers, and so it will be signed on a trusted machine using these signing tools we're having. So there is a key that each developer is on, and you sign it.
So you have to prepare in advance. Yeah,
yes.
That makes sense. Thanks.
Justin Kaplis, NYU. So I'm going to ask a bit of an unfair question here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the things that we've kind of seen and learned is that metrics like lines of code and number of system calls are not particularly great metrics for knowing if
yes.
your code is going to be
mm-hmm.
secure or safe or other things.
Mm-hmm.
If you had sort of infinite time and grad students and things like this to explore this, how would you have done your evaluation differently to try to give better evaluation metrics about the security of the system, because lines of code and other things are not a great way to do it.
Understood, yes. And I think that was a very big problem, and I personally have take a very strong interest on that problem, for sure. And security, how do we evaluate security is always the biggest problems. And I think, well, we all know that the formal way is if you either use formal verifications or or just try to build a team, try to attack your application as much as we can. Unfortunately, we don't have too much knowledge right now or too much convenient tool right now to help them here. But for the long run, I think like TCB is basically a very rough evaluations. And so what we're sort of showing you here is we should not just jump to conclusion that like a large TCB may be caused by library OSs and trigger any problems. But as you said, that needs further investigation.
Hi, Dan Williams, IBM Research. My question was also about how you kind of know what the best interface is, and you know, mm-hmm. I understand on the performance mm-hmm. perspective, it's easy to measure, but from the shielding perspective, and how to know that these mm-hmm. are safe. Are there any kind of anecdotes or things that you can give us to kind of as hints as how to know whether or not sure. this is an easy interface to shield or not?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think there's several generation that we try to change this interfaces. So first of all, at the beginning, we just try to expose the original interface that Graphene was using, but find out it's really hard to check with them. So we decide to just like basically build another layer to translate them to something a lot more easy to check, but a lot of easy check means that you know you can predict certain value and you can exactly check that correct value. Because if you don't know correct value, you don't know how to check, right? And also we have run into several problems where not only those interfaces, but also in the assembly level, you could potentially have introduced a vulnerability. We have actually a very great issue being submitted to GitHub by a PhD student, which is a great vulnerability in Graphene, and it was being fixed later. So there's a lot of concern you have to think about, not just assembly level, and also in the definition of interfaces here.